Let's lift up the word and make our confession. I confess, I declare, this is the word of God. God cannot lie. His word is truth. We accept it. We believe it. We receive it. We live according to grace by faith. The blood of Christ has redeemed us and set us free from sin, sickness, bondage, and separation from God. We are free because of Christ's substitute work on the cross. If you want to turn the one you used for the music down a little bit towards about 11 or 10, if it was a clock face, and it should be just about right. Bear with me as I get these things out. We're still going on the priestly garments, and I had all this together, and then I still haven't got to the breastplate. We're going to touch on some of it out of this lesson, this message, but I can't get deeply into it, so it's probably going to be a message all on its own, because the more I see, the more it goes deeper and deeper. It wasn't just something that he wore here on his chest, as it had a purpose, a holy purpose. So as we go forward, let's remember that every bit of the articles God put there for a reason. Now, you see I've got a bunch of handouts here, pictures. I will not be getting through all these tonight, so don't worry. The next screen, Kathy. There we go. Tonight is priest's garments continued. I started to say continued again. There's a lot in here. And it's going to be continued again because, see, this is the notes for tonight. And there's no way that I'm going to get through all this tonight. I've already got one person that I know traveled today is shaking their head no. No, you're not going to get through that tonight. So let's go to the picture, the first picture that I don't think you have it in yours. It's not in your packet. It's on the screen. Remember this one from a couple weeks ago? This was the high priest. They call it the golden garment because it had the ephod and the turban and the robe over the tunic and the pomegranates and the bells. It had the whole thing. And this was what the priest wore all the time, the high priest. In Exodus 28, verses 40 through 43 says, "For Aaron's sons, make tunics and sashes. Also make them hats that are both dignified and beautiful. Place these vestments on Aaron and his sons, then anoint them and install them, sanctifying them to be priests to me. Also make linen pants to cover their nakedness, reaching from their waist to their thighs. All these vestments must be worn by Aaron and his sons whenever they enter the communion tent or offer sacrifice on the altar, performing the divine service in the sanctuary. Otherwise, they will have committed a sin and they will die. This shall be a law for Aaron and his descendants after him for all time." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for your anointing on me. I ask you to help me to bring out what you've shown me here, that it becomes something fruitful in the lives of the hearers, that they can take away some nuggets for their lives and how your word is put together and what you were trying to say then and through Christ and in our day to us today. In Jesus' name. It's interesting that in this portion of the passage, and we've read many of these passages about the different articles, but at one point it's talking about tunics and sashes and hats and turbans and things that they may anoint them, install them, sanctifying them to be priests to me, period. And then God's word goes on, and God doesn't put anything in here that he doesn't have a purpose and a meaning for. There's a lot of stuff that happened in the world that is not in the Bible, but the things he wanted to share have a spiritual purpose. He went on and said, and also make linen pants to cover their nakedness, reaching from their waist down to their thighs. Then he says, all these vestments must be worn. And it says, when they're ministering or they die. All of these, including those pants. Now, if you remember the priests, the different pictures of the priests, those things went all the way down to their ankles. There's no way you could tell where they had them on or not. But God knew. They weren't there for flash or for show. They had them on to cover their nakedness. In Exodus chapter 39, verses 28 and 29, it says, they made the tunics for Aaron and his sons by weaving them out of fine linen. They made the linen turban, the fine linen hats, and the linen pants all out of twined linen. They made the belt embroidered out of twined linen and sky blue, dark red, and crimson wool. God is very, very detailed in these garments. Remember that the twined wool or the linen was six stranded thread. They would put together six strands of linen to make a thread, and then they took those and they wove them. Six is the number of man. And if six being the number of man, they were clothed as holy and consecrated men, mankind. We walk holy and consecrated because of what Christ did as men and women of God in the same manner. Ephesians 4, 24 and 25 tells us, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, rejecting all falsity, being done now with it, let everyone express the truth with his neighbor. For we are all parts of one body and members of one another. We are the woven together fabric. We are the clothed in Christ's righteousness, but we are to put on that new nature. What new nature? Not the way we were before we accepted Christ, but the new nature that we take on as a new creation in Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ, it says we're a new creature. We're clothed and to put on that new nature, the same way that these priests had to put this on every time they came into the temple, every time they went to work, they changed out of their civilian clothes, if you want to call it that, into their priestly garments. Do I have this next scripture up here, 39, and what's the next screen? Okay, stay on that one. And you shall make a linen turban for the sons of Aaron and make for them hats. This was the first picture that I showed you. This was the linen turban, but it doesn't look like it's a white turban. And we'll get to that in a little bit, but the priests... turban looked different from the high priest turban looked different from the others. He was the only one with the crown. He was the only one, he had a different covering than they did, so to speak. The high priest turban was fashioned of a narrow strip of white linen measuring 16 cubits long. And it was wound around the head, kind of like the way if you see someone wind a bandage around someone's head when they're doing a head wound, they can cover every bit of it to where no hair shows. And that's the way that this was put on. It wasn't put on, sewn together, and just put on like a hat. It was actually wound onto the head. Flavius Josephus, you remember him from the Antiquities? He was actually a priest that became a historian. So he knew the inside of the priesthood. He had seen a lot of this, but he became a historian, and he actually was doing a lot of the history and wrote the books that we have to show firsthand knowledge of a lot of things going on then. But Flavius Josephus maintains that a cap of sky blue wool was placed over the high priest's white turban. We remember the same blue covering for the robe, the same blue throughout, meant the presence of God, it meant the Holy Spirit, it meant all of that. And so he put on his mind a covering showing the presence of God. Are we supposed to put on the mind of Christ? It's in the same manner. Your head is clothed with him. The blue over the turban. The turban was the righteousness. And the blue over the top of that was the presence of God. It was symbolic. But we put on the helmet of salvation. It's not wound on, it's put on. We put on the mind of Christ. It's not wound on, it's put on. And so this turban, an extra part of the garment, a covering, was symbolic of God's presence over his mind so he can make those decisions. He can listen to the heart and mind of God. I just found that interesting. It was a little side note, but it was an interesting note. The hat of the ordinary priest. Go to the picture. There we go. You're right on it. Thank you. You notice that this does not look like a turban. This was actually prepared, and they would put it on and could take it off. You notice that this also has a veil here. When they were ministering, there were times that they had to cover their eyes. The Shekinah glory would get so great, they couldn't put their hands up there because they're ministering, so they could cover their eyes. And that's one of the things that the Temple Institute brought out. It's not in Scripture. It's more in the other sage writings that these things should be there. But I thought that was interesting because you remember when Phil would talk about how that they would take their tekleet and put it down over their heads when they were praying. They were in ministry. They couldn't stop that, but they could have this to where they could still see below them, but they weren't looking at the presence of God. Moses had a veil similar to this over his face when his face shone. So the priests had this opportunity. Some of the people say that the priests, regular priests, had the same type of turban wound on, but others say no, because it definitely says hats for them versus turban for him. And so some of the Talmud, some of the different rabbis go back and forth on these things. So the Temple Institute has gone and really looked into this to try to find the most in-depth, and these were the garments that they put together with the current understandings. Let's go to the belt. That the next picture, there you go. There's two pictures here because I wanted you to see. You see this here, it's wound around and then like a sash tucked in and over. The belt is it's not like a belt that we go and buy that has a buckle. It's a long sash, okay? It was 3 finger breadths. Wide, which is about 2 1/4 inches wide. It was made from an exceedingly long piece of fabric. It was 32 cubits long. That's 48 feet. 32 cubits long. What does the armor of God say? Your loins girt about with truth. You have to have some help sometimes getting something like that wrapped around you, because you can hold it and you can wrap it around and right? You know, you're wrapping this sash around you in a certain way. The belt in what they believe, the belt atoned for sins of the heart, because Remember, the emotions were here around, still today, the seat of your emotions. When you get really in grief, you feel it in your stomach, your abdomen. And so the heart was your emotions. But it was also your thinker. Well, they were putting the belt around this area. More, you ladies put a belt on a dress, you put it up around close to the rib cage. Same kind of deal, because you're not going to put it down around your hips as much. You know, you get a dress and you put it there and you tie it back here and it's up high. Well, this was to separate the heart from the rest of the body. It says it atoned for the sins of the heart, and it was worn over the heart that way. This was seen even in the detail of the measurement. 32 cubits. 32 is the gematria for the Hebrew word lev, which means heart. Even in the length of the belt, it fit out that this was your loins girt about with truth that we read about in the New Testament. Amen? The length of the belt itself serves as a reminder of the priest as he officiates in the hallowed courts of the Lord of the purity which his office requires and the unsullied intentions he must have as he goes about his duties. So even the clothes he was wearing reminded him of God's holiness in his presence. When we look at the armor of God, we think of, man, I'm standing there like a soldier. I'm ready for battle. There's more to it. You can look like a soldier or you can be a soldier. These were God's garments. Amen? The belt was embroidered on both sides. Turn down the one that you did back there. Just a little bit. Thank you. Somebody's got some interference out here. The radio's going by. How about the first channel is over here closest to you? There's the two, there's the plugs, and then above that there's the two knobs. There's the two, listen to me, the two knobs like this. Try the bottom of those two and see if it takes this out, but you can still hear me. If not, put it back where it was and do the other one. So you have to work between. Okay? Anyway, Josephus describes it as being hollow, like the skin of a snake. You imagine embroidering as a tube, 30 cubits long for one priest. I mean, weaving it, 30, and then embroidering it. The Bible uses a term about the embroidery. The belt was made of this, and about Josephus, the belt was made of linen. The embroidery was a floral design. It was done of colored threads, the three colors which have already been mentioned, and attached to the linen background. The combination of wool and linen together is normally forbidden in 1919, but it was permitted for the priestly garment. So you think about this. If you looked at it, hollow tube, woven linen, embroidered on both sides. And so it to it. Just in what he told them to wear, and then start reading about other scriptures that the temple sacrifice of them going through and doing this, probably not saying much, and seeing the sacrifice and seeing the favor and marching bands. I was watching a marching band the other day, and just awe-inspiring watching them move and do what they did, and they were all dressed exactly the same. You see, with military on parade, it's amazing to watch what they do when everybody gets one mindset. These priests were of one mindset. They had a job to do to stand between you and Almighty God, to do the work of Almighty God, and they were clothed that way. There's controversy about the whether it's the same for the high priest as it was for the other. But again, not in Scripture. Josephus does say that the priest's belt and the high priest were the same. Now, maybe that changed from early on to, you know, after Solomon's temple and Herod's temple. The second temple had things, I don't know, but Josephus was around part of Herod's temple. Earlier about the belt was wrapped around, it says wrap the belt around the body at the hip, close to the heart. Its purpose was to separate between the upper and lower portions of the body. We eat here, our heartbeat here. There's things in the body down by the waist that have it, you know. The belt was a those kind of things going on. Josephus gives us the, when the belt was worn, up over the left shoulder, again, pressing the heart, so that it didn't get into the they just cast. So, like you had, like we go back and say, make for them linen pants to cover their nakedness, they shall reach from the loins to the eyes. The one thing that God all of the items that make, if you want to call it, for beauty. This, it only is the pants where for modestly known to cover the nakedness. We're going to get to that just a little bit. Jewish writing talking about how the pants were made. They go down the waist to the knee. There were no openings in it. You go and buy boxers, something like that, there are openings in the pants. These had their openings. Just for your body to go through, your legs to go through, and your legs to come off. So any other openings, they were totally closed. So it wasn't made for, it was made for modesty. Go to the building schedule. See here, pictures you have. One is this person's help. This person, they used red in this, and probably help you see, but helping him wind that around him. I'm going to talk about this other picture here in a second. This is one of the rooms in the temple, just inside the gate. There were seven gates in the courtyard, the north, the south, one in the east. The one in the east is the Nicanor Gate. That's spelled N-I-K-A-N-O-R. The Nicanor Gate. And you need to go out and look that up. I'll give you a brief history of it. This person made these gates, had these gates made. They brought them over on ship. And the storm came up. The sailor cast one of the gates out to lighten the load, and it didn't help. By fearing that the storm was going to be cast out, he prayed for his life to save the gate. And they decided that wasn't going to do anything, so if we throw this to shore, his heart told in himself that this one gate that made this other gate, he'd for the temple and was bringing it. When the ship docked, there was the other gate right beside the ship. It was pulled out of the water, and when they revamped the temple and did a refurbish, those were the only gates they didn't change out. They changed the other gates, but they changed out the next gates because of the miracle God used to bring that gate out of the deep all the way up to the shallow. Bring it out and take it to the temple. So go read it. It's fascinating. I want to let you know that's this gate. And with that gate, the gate's more than just the doors. The gate at that time is actually an opening area behind the doors that encompass that. There were chambers, right side on the left, inside that gate. It was for the wardrobe, and with high priest meal off prepared there. This would be the wardrobe's area over here. And there were many called them windows. We'll talk about that here in a minute as to what they were for. Why? Time the second time Phineas the wardrobe was the official. Supervised the uniforms and the dress of the priest. There were so many priests that served the Holy Temple. Those officials were divided into shifts, and they consisted of family groupings. Each shift had its window in that area. Garments were kept. Clothes for the members of their respective shifts were taken care of. There were 90 such whole locker windows. Four windows for each of the 24 shifts. Within the windows, it was kept in the same order in which it was on. So you would go to one, you'd get the pants, and you'd put them, go to the next, and you get the shirt that you put them on in. They were kept. So everything in order. And the possible pile of those. Then the shifts that were not on, that were on, doors were on those were kept clean. So only ones that needed to go to. So there was order in how things got dressed. The name of each was upon the windows of the ship. When upon the windows, it was not ready, the windows were closed. Each which arrived again is to be opened windows on the Sabbath and the garment. Windows were open during the entire week. At the close of the week, they returned garments to the windows. The items of clothing were separate in the individual windows. This priest would arrive and take up a position not being confronted with the jumble. If it was a window pants, what would be above the window? Sad. The high priest had a window. The high priest kept golden garments. His chamber might mingle with the other priest. His garment there. The order for dressing came to robe themselves with vestment. The ordinary priest put sacred garments first. Didn't take off. They had. Or they had put on still clothed. They pulled the other garments that they were never naked. They were never clothed in the temple, even though they changed everything and everything. Did it in, they did it off. Watch my daughter change a shirt. She'll put a shirt on over the shirt. Not. She'll take the shirt. In that manner, they never were naked in the temple. No, they closed. They put their pants on and take their pants off and put them on over. Then they would put on the tunic and then the belt, and then they'd put their hat. If you go to Leviticus, I'm not going to have it there. This is the whole chapter. If you go to Leviticus 8, chapter has to do with not uncovering the necessary member and shoe. Problem doing Isaiah 7 you about God will for your nakedness catch you. So in that the nakedness of a person isn't to be shown to others. So God, even the word they had. Close. Took to the nth degree that they had to wear that die. Well, why do you have to have pants? Had a coat or something? See, had to have pants. The people down here, the altar, the burnt altar, there's an altar, elevator, walk around. Know what I'm talking about? You need to have some vision, some vision protection. What about the son and he's in the work? He's educated at, I think, 3 years up. Somebody walking along, hiddenness covered, and he can do it. But God covered hiddenness because it was somebody's business, and he didn't want that acting. The problem was. Same type. Found something interesting in Leviticus. Leviticus 6, 2 through 4 says, the Lord says, tell your brethren, he must come all to the Holy Spirit in the veil for the mercy on the ark. Die. I will turn a cloud on the mercy. Aaron shall in the holy enclosure in this the young for a suffering and a ram for burning. He'll put holy under have it breached in his body and fitted with girded ash and with in turn for my shall he tired be the garments bathed body and them on. Set what's missing. Interesting. 3:5. When the Lord saw that he saw the sea, called him in the bush, Moses, and he said, I am. God said, I'm not here. Off your shoes. paid for the on which land is holding. Priest ministered temple foot. They on the holiest. Okay? He said with the feet touch the earth not inside there things on Mark or talked this God man talk foot earth. And you read about the angels. Don't his burn fast in you. The walk for the, they their cover for the Lord. And I just found amazing but why? When Jews or someone the temple, everybody is holding. There's no need. They were holding holes before God. Is there one holding on? Imagine nothing you God's holding is the holy. It's coming through your sense of God. How are we to walk? In the same manner, if you walk with nothing else, walk around for a go out nail. Most of it around who's on. Just don't get excited, but my foot down. People grab shoes because I walk around. Everybody preach, but I think we can talk. Just be cool. He's never have shoes. I think when God. God, we did walking around through the like, foot. Attack going on. It was but not slight noises. Of course, Peter probably being they didn't. The side. Don't form the they seen after that had read himself. And God, good, he
Jesus.
Adonai panav elecha v'sham lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.